Welcome to the Sixth Man Podcast. Get ready for anything and everything you want and need to know about the NBA's Toronto Raptors. Now, your host, diehard Raptor fan, Dave Lawrence.
All right. Here we go. It is time now for the next episode of the Sixth Man Podcast. I don't know what's up with the whole Matthew McConaughey intro. I don't know. I'm not even from Texas or American. But anyways, it doesn't matter. We have got lots to cover. As I had been saying for weeks since this podcast took off, that the draft lottery was really going to be the first domino to fall. And boy, do we have more news to talk about. All sorts of things. From massive trade rumors that are out there right now, specifically involving Pascal Siakam. I don't see too many other names. The Otto G one, barely any Fred VanVleet, but Pascal seems to be the name that everybody's floating around as a possible trade option or trade piece. We're also going to take a bit more of a look. I'm going to do an individual kind of mini episode dedicated to the top four picks of the draft coming up a little bit closer to draft time, which of course is July 29th. But we're also going to be talking about Jalen Harris. That was a bit of a surprise. Also Team Canada basketball with, of course, our fearless leader, Nick Nurse, leading that squad, how heartbreaking that was. We'll go over some of those trade rumors I talked about. And like I said, talking about the draft. So lots of stuff. Let's start off talking about Jalen Harris, the 22-year-old player from Dallas, Texas, taken in the second round, 59th pick, the 2020 draft, Louisiana Tech University. A lot of hopes for him. He looked really good. He played a lot, you know, towards the end of the season last year, and he really started to, you know, make a lot of moves. He was looking good out there. I don't know about the number 2 on his jersey. That was still weird for me. I think it will be for a while, but he was looking good. All right. A lot of the younger guys got more playing time like him and Malachi, and he looked good. I got to admit. Now, am I weeping? Did I stay up crying all night when I heard that he's going to be suspended for a year and then he's off the team? No, I honestly, my heart goes out to him. I think, you know, rather than chastising him and trying to ruin his future, he obviously needs education. He needs some help, and I hope he gets it. And I hope he comes back to the league. He was a young man, but this is definitely going to set him back, and it's certainly not a great start for a guy that looked fairly promising as well. So, you know, I do wish him the best, but they just got a zero tolerance for this sort of thing. No real specific details on what it was. I mean, the article, one of the first articles I found was celebstoner.com. So, I mean, I don't know. But anyways, I don't know if it was whatever it was, but he's obviously not a part of the team anymore, not a part of the NBA for 1 year. He's got a 1 year suspension, and then we'll see if he bounces back. I don't even know how that works, actually, as if the Raptors would still maintain his rights. I don't think so, because he was a restricted free agent as a second-round pick. So, I don't know. Maybe they'd still get his rights. I mean, we still had the rights for Roko Jukic for several years before he got a whiff in the NBA. So there's lots of guys out there like that. You see our salary cap and you go, what's he still doing on there? You know what I mean? It's one of those situations. So we'll see what happens in a year from now. Jalen Harris coming back into the league. But that was a really surprising story when it hit, because you really don't see that every day. So I don't know what it was exactly, but he has obviously failed some sort of drug test and is not a part of the team anymore. So all the best to him. I mean, the Raptors are going to have to make moves to probably open up some slots on their roster anyways with the draft. They've got 2 picks in the second round this year, as well as their 4th overall pick. And trades, oh my goodness, the speculation on trades is unbelievable. But real quick, first of all, man, I don't know. I was probably more sad, no disrespect to Jalen Harris, but about Team Canada's basketball team. I mean, man, they were looking so good. They were looking great. And without a lot of talent that, you know, could have been on the team, like guys like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you had Jamal Murray, who wanted to play but was out with his injury, of course, and, of course, Chris Boucher. Still, people were calling it the most talented men's Canada basketball team in a long, long time, maybe even ever, because you had R.J. Barrett out there, Andrew Wiggins, can't go wrong with that, Nikhil Alexander he had on there as well, Anthony Bennett on the team, too. I don't know if you noticed that, but anyways, some really good-looking players on the team, and it went all the way. It was their opportunity. Those last two teams, the top two, were going to be going to the Olympics, and the Canadian Raptors, they went to overtime and lost to the Czech Republic. So their Olympic dreams dashed once again. They're ranked 21st in the world. But man, that talent that we've got in Canada, when all those guys are healthy and can play, if we ever get that team together, could you imagine Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at the point, then you got Jamal Murray next to him, Andrew Wiggins, maybe small forward, or RJ Barrett, and then find, you know, vice versa, whatever, get one of them to play the power forward. Who cares? Who cares who plays power forward? And then like Chris Boucher at center. Oh man, that is a team. That is a group on the floor I want to see. And they're all young guys. So I'm pretty confident we're going to see it at some point. So hats off to Nick Nurse, man. I bet he was super disappointed that he couldn't get into the Olympics, but they played so well and came up so short. Oh, so frustrating. So frustrating. All right, next up, let's talk a bit more about the draft. We've got one Jalen out. Could we have another Jalen coming in? I keep seeing, I get vibes for these sort of things. I don't know what you're about, but, you know, people saying Evan Mobley. I've been saying Evan Mobley for a while because he really fits, you know, a need. He's getting comparisons to Anthony Davis, which is never a bad thing as long as he can stay healthy, okay? This guy's like uncooked pasta. He just breaks all the time. Breaks all the time. Shout out to Dave on FX. I got that joke from last week's episode. But anyways, he's playing with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He refers him to that. But anyways, we're going to see what Evan Mobley's all about. That's the name that I was kind of clinging to. Admittedly, I'm going to own it. I mean, that's the guy I wanted. Looks like he could go number two, but a lot of ifs right now. Cade Cunningham first to Detroit, number two at Houston. What will they do with it? And then the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers are going to be the biggest domino in that top four. What will they do with it? Could Mobley fall to them? Will that change things for them? They've already got Jared Allen. Would they really need him there? Would they try and trade him last minute on draft night to get some additional assets and then bring Evan Mobley in if he's available? Honestly, at this point, I'm going to be happy with either Jalen Suggs or Jalen Green. But there is a lot of buzz that is starting to surround Jalen Green more and more. NBA personnel, and this is from Sports Illustrated, they love the idea of Houston drafting Jalen Green. They think that that would just be an absolutely perfect fit. So if that's the way it happens, Cade Cunningham goes one, Jalen Green goes two to Houston, Mobley falls to Cleveland. Like I said, Cleveland's going to be that biggest question mark right there. Are they going to take him if he's available, or would they go in a different direction? You know, they're trying to move off Colin Sexton, who I think is a really good player, but if you've got the opportunity to get Suggs, I think Suggs is just going to be a great, solid, kind of that almost like Mike Bibby addition in a certain way. You know, Mike Bibby came into the league, of course, and he came to our, may they rest in peace, Vancouver Grizzlies. But he came in, he wasn't super flashy or anything like that. Didn't get a lot of love, but man, that guy just balled out. He was so efficient and just put up numbers and was just an Iron Man out there and was so, so good. Don't get me wrong. The Mike Bibbys of the world, the Antoine Jamesons. Now, I know we have a little bit of a connection to Antoine Jameson. Of course, we drafted him with the Raptors, but then traded him for Vince Carter. No problem there. I'm still happy about that trade, but I always said he's one of the best automatic double-double guys out there. And I think, I don't know. I want to see Suggs become a true star in the NBA, but I think he's going to come in, play both ends of the floor really, really well, and just be great. You know, 14, 15 points a night, 5 or 6 assists, get a couple of steals, good numbers, good numbers. I think right from day one. So he'd be a great fit as well, especially if Kyle isn't coming back. The Raptors need to know what's going on there. But a lot of scouts, a lot of people starting to like Jalen Green more and more. It seemed, as they said in the SI article, that for months, Evan Mobley, USC 7-footer, would be the second overall pick. But now Jalen Green of the G League seems to be moving up draft boards and has piqued the interest of Houston Rockets at number two. Multiple people around the league love the idea of Green fitting in Houston, mainly because of the potential for stardom down the line and the backcourt fit with Kevin Porter Jr. That's a Rocket reporter, Kelly Eco of The Athletic, wrote that just this past Monday. Green has jumped up to number two pick on ESPN and Ringer's latest mock drafts and has closed in on Mobley, who is now just even money to go second overall. So, again, tough, man. These draft things, they just jump all over the place. Could his stock continue to rise all the way to number one? Call me crazy, but I've read that on a few places as well. I'd say Cade Cunningham is a can't-miss. Detroit needs a player just like that. You got to take him no matter what. But Jalen Green is getting a lot more buzz of, like, the tools. Now, is Jalen Green going to be the next... I mean, I don't know. I want to shout out any huge, huge names here to get anybody too excited or too mad at me. But, you know, for every Jalen Green that maybe turns into, oh, I don't know, a Zach LaVine, for example. I'll say his name because he's really good and all-star and the names rhyme. But for every Zach LaVine, there's a Gerald Green. Oh, my goodness, another one. Gerald Green, you know, I remember when a lot of Raptors fans wanted us to draft him back in the day. And Gerald Green, just a guy that did not turn out really in the NBA. Still floating around, but not to the extent of the hype that he was getting coming into the NBA. So do I think he's going to be like that, Jalen Green? I don't. But I'll take either Jalen Green, Jalen Suggs, or Evan Mobley. At this point, I don't even care. Just getting one of them, I think, is going to be a huge coup for the Raptors. But here comes the but. Will they keep the pick? Or will they try and trade it and go and swing for the fences and try and get something huge? Now, here is the number one trade that I see. I've seen so many trades out there, certainly centered around Pascal Siakam most specifically, right? Pascal's name just getting every place, okay? Getting every place. And I saw one yesterday about Pascal going to the Dallas Mavericks to play alongside Luka Doncic. People suggesting that would be the greatest pairing right there. The best pairing for Doncic would be a Pascal Siakam. But they want to give us back Kristaps Porzingis, a first-round pick, another player. And I'm like, I don't want anything to do with Kristaps Porzingis. Honestly, injury-prone, obviously has some character issues, doesn't want to be the second banana. Well, he might have to be. You know what I mean? That's, you got to have guys that are willing to buy in. And when you're playing with Luka, sorry, Kristaps, you're just not as good as Luka. Luka is a scary, scary talent, a top five talent in the league, and there's just no way that you can compare to him. Even if you got the focus as the number one option, you couldn't put up the numbers that Luka is. So I would stay far away from Kristaps Porzingis. I don't like that trade whatsoever. It doesn't interest me in any way. Now, the trade that I've got to say, okay, that does interest me that I've seen online is a couple of different variations, but it involves the Golden State Warriors and their number seven pick. There's a lot of talk of the Warriors taking the number seven pick and James Wiseman, the number two overall pick from last year's draft, and shipping it to the Raptors for potentially Pascal Siakam. I would do that, to be honest with you. And I'll go a step further. Not only have I seen that, there's the one I would be, you get that fourth and seventh pick? You know, I don't know. I made a commitment to talk the truth on this podcast, and I think I've said this before. I have nothing against Pascal Siakam. He was great in our championship run. He was a great number two, sometimes number three guy. But when I look at him personally, and again, nothing against this player either, I see another Chris Bosh. And Chris Bosh is the epitome of our treadmill years, right? He was the best player on a bad team, okay? Bosh was the third option when he went to Miami finally, of course, behind LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. So I look at Pascal and I see Bosh. I just see it. I just, some guys you can just sense if they have it or they don't, and I just don't see it for him. He would be a great, I would absolutely give Fred the ball more than Pascal. Pascal being a two to Fred at this point. I just don't think he can handle the pressure of being that number one guy. And a very funny psychological thing, I was talking to a friend of mine, you know, with no fans in the stands, pressure's not quite the same, I bet, for NBA players, right? That's why I think certain players really have been thriving that you didn't expect, because there's not 30,000 people screaming and yelling and going crazy at them, so it allows them to focus in a bit more on just basketball. When we get back to full stands, I think some guys that are big heroes right now will be more in the zero category. I think they burn up under the lights. And I think Pascal could be kind of one of those guys. And he didn't even have a great season in the pandemic or in the bubble. So I don't know. I want to give him all the chances in the world. But here's the trade that I saw that I would do. I'll take it a step further. Another one I saw suggested, Pascal Siakam for Andrew Wiggins, James Wiseman. Those salaries would match a lot better. And the number seven pick. Tell me you wouldn't do that. Come on. I would absolutely do that. No. Don't boo me. It's, come on. That trade right there, you get Wiggins, who was very, very solid, and I still think underrated for Golden State. People talk about his contract. Yeah. Coming back to Toronto, you couldn't tell me you wouldn't be invigorated playing for the only Canadian team in the league. He looked great on Team Canada. You get him. You get Wiseman, who's a second overall pick last year, a true seven-footer, and then put him in our development program. We have the best development program in the NBA, I'm sorry to tell you. I'd love to see what the Raptors could do with a guy like that. Just unbelievable talent sitting there. And you get the number seven pick, and the number seven pick for Pascal. I would do it. If it was Wiggins, Wiseman, and number seven, I would do it for Pascal. Absolutely. Pascal and, like, whatever throw-in you need. Or, you know, guarantee Aaron Baines, or I don't know if Rodney Hood would work. Anybody not named Fred or OG or our number four pick, I would absolutely do it. And I think for me, it would be a no-brainer. That's going to be the number one post on our Instagram this week for this episode is, would you do that trade? Okay, one more time. Pascal Siakam for Golden State's Andrew Wiggins, James Wiseman, number two pick last year, and the seventh overall pick. Oh, come on. And you could probably package 7 and 4 and move up in the draft to like 3 or 2, I'm sure. You know, there's so many more options, and you get Wiseman and you get Andrew Wiggins. I would absolutely do it. Call me crazy. I would absolutely do it. That would be my choice. That's probably the number one trade that I've seen out there right now, but it is still very interesting that a lot of the trade suggestions all seem to center around Pascal Siakam, who won't even probably be playing when the season opens because of his shoulder surgery. He's off for 5 months, and that'll put him kind of right at the wire there. Certainly won't be a part of training camp and maybe miss the first couple of weeks. Who knows? Maybe he'll be ahead of schedule for all I know, but we'll see what happens with Pascal. Will he remain a Raptor? What will the Raptors do with the fourth overall pick? Do you want to see Jalen Green, who's everybody's buzzing about right now, going up the ranks all the way, being suggested to number two for Houston now? I mean, a week ago, maybe 5 days ago, everybody was saying Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, then either Jalen Green or Jalen Suggs, and then Jalen Green or Jalen Suggs. So now Jalen Green skyrocketing up those draft boards. That could mean Mobley dropping down to 3. If Suggs was available, would they still go for him with Cleveland? And then Mobley falling to the Raptors. One thing's for sure, it is going to be a very, very interesting draft this year. I can't wait. July 29th. Like I said, we'll do individual episodes devoted to mini episodes devoted to those top four players coming up before the draft, July 29th. And then the next big date after that, August 2nd, the day after my birthday. I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be real hard to do an episode that day. But August 2nd is the start of free agency. Will Kyle Lowry stay a Raptor? Will he be on his way? Very, very strong signs also pointing towards Gary Trent Jr. re-signing with the Raptors, which I'm totally cool with. Young player, great upside. Bring him back in at 15. I wouldn't do 20, but 15, 16 million. I'm all for it. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep you informed. And thanks once again for tuning in to the Sixth Man Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Sixth Man Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow the show on Instagram at The Sixth Man Podcast. Join us next time for another episode of The Sixth Man Podcast.